the price has to change. And if the sellers don't agree to a price change, then I have to walk away. And that's what ended up happening. So Plate and Place fell apart. I'm sure you were probably anticipating that.
Walk me through it.
Yeah. Basically, I went back to them. We originally had locked up the deal at $5.4 million. The 10-year treasury changed, which is what the loan was based on. So when we originally did the deal, the 10-year treasury was at 3.4%. Within 2 weeks, it climbed to almost 4%, which added 60 basis points to the loan, which would effectively bring the interest-only loan to about 6%. And in order for that deal to work, I would need around to get the exact same type of return, or at least within the same ballpark. What would end up happening is it wasn't so much the interest rate. It was the LTV and the proceeds that the lender was going to provide. Based on that, I was going to have to shave off a little bit over $400,000, which I didn't think was going to be an issue. And when I was speaking with the seller, selling agent, he actually didn't think it was going to be that much of an issue either. That these guys are astute, you know, real estate investors. They understand that things like this change. They were willing to, for all intents and purposes, accept a retrade. Problem was that the pro forma that they provided, now people have to understand that this was a full rehab and they didn't have a full T12 to go off of, right? So it was a pro forma T12. And they had gotten occupancy and their occupancy clearance or a permit, whatever, in November, right? Mm-hmm. Now they were kind of under the table leasing units, which they weren't necessarily allowed to, but they did it anyways, prior to November. But you know, you can't really effectively use that. So they had to start occupancy, or at least their trailing financials back from like November with a full month starting in December. So, and the lender made an exception to not necessarily have to use a T12, obviously given the narrative that it's a rehab job. And they usually only require a T3, or they mostly require a T3. They even got an exception to use a T1 because this lender that I was using is based in San Diego, California. They have a Phoenix office, and their Phoenix office mentioned that their underwriting is correct, their pro forma is very accurate. And the submarket that this property is sitting in is very hot. Mm. And it's there's the fundamentals do exist. Everything that I put together for them is accurate with respect to the fundamentals, all the projections, all that stuff. They felt very confident with the package that I provided them and the narrative that I provided them. The problem was that the sellers were not hitting the pro forma. Mm. For example, a couple things that ended up becoming an issue was concessions. So what they were doing is they were giving a free month up front under a 13-month lease. So basically a free month or like the first free month of a 13-month lease, which, you know, you could argue that it would be like a, you know, a 12-month. But when you're underwriting an income statement for real estate, that those concessions play into, you know, the trailing financials and also economic vacancy. Mm-hmm. Also, there was two units vacant because I had pushed them to, which apparently they already had, you know,
lease agreements.
No, they had already evicted, or they were already in the process of evicting, but I made it very apparent that I wanted this eviction to happen before me taking over the property, mm-hmm. the Airbnb unit. So somebody was renting Airbnb. They changed the locks. Now, if this was a situation where it was like not a situation where they're changing the locks, it's evident that you can't get into the property. Like, I don't want to deal with that. I don't want to assume an Airbnb situation where you know, they're changing locks, there's something in there that they don't want you to see. I'm not assuming that, whether it's damage, whether it's a very problematic, you know, situation. I'm not assuming that. This was a turnkey property with upside. I'm not assuming a non-turnkey property, because if you need me to assume a non-turnkey property, that's not what I'm paying for.
Right.
And there's a discount at hand if that's the case. So with one concession that hadn't burned off in the month of, I want to say February and March, because there was one in February, one in March, there was one concession that hadn't burned off, and then two vacancies, it dipped below a 10% economic vacancy, which the lender has an issue with. Mm-hmm. These lenders, after 90 days of a project being completed, they want to see stabilization with at most 10% economic vacancy is what they wanted to see in order for me to get proceeds up and around to be aligning with a 65-35 LTV, which is what I wanted. And that's what I built the pro forma out and the whole narrative and the whole returns. Unfortunately, because that wasn't happening, in order for me to get those returns, I had to go back at a retrade price of, originally I went in at 4.45 million. So a reduction of $950,000. Now I left a little bit of room there. I ended up going back, finalizing it at 6.65 million, and we're too far apart. And they didn't even
4.65.
What did I say?
6.65.
Yeah, sorry. 4.65 million, which is a $750,000 retrade price. They didn't even come back with a counter. And, you know, for all intents and purposes, they mentioned that they're going to keep the property, you know, a cash flow strong for them. And they're gonna try to finance it at a, you know, at a later date, mm-hmm. or whatever, get out of the current loan that they have that they've been working in the background on refinancing anyways, if this actually fell through, which is, you know, the responsible thing to do anyways. That's essentially where we are. And it's bittersweet, but at the end of the day, I can't put out a return and then renege on those returns for potential investors. I don't feel comfortable with that. I have certain parameters that I want to hit. Mm-hmm. And if the deal changes based off of, you know, fluctuating interest rates, as well as a differing pro forma that we were initially presented with, and that pro forma changes once it's time to solidify the deal, the price has to change. And if the sellers don't agree to a price change, then I have to walk away. And that's what ended up happening. So with that said, we still have other opportunities. I am going to be selling off a portion of my ownership in the North Miami Beach property, the Bayview Palms property that I have, in order to raise more capital, do more deals. So that's going to be happening. Obviously, yep. we have you know, 1 year of historic financials to back up our claims on the property and for the investment itself. Also, I'm going to be selling off a good portion of my equity in the Canton Manor building that we have. It's a 55 plus senior complex that we have in Canton, Michigan. Great property. Is my first in the U.S. I've owned it for now, what, 3 years?
3 years now.
Three years now.
Actually, so just over 3 years.
Yeah, so we have solid financials on that. That's going to be a very tough equity position to walk away from. But again, if I'm going to be scaling Coachwood Capital and turning this into the fund that I want, that I foresee it turning into, mm-hmm. I have to start getting out of the higher percentage of equity positions that I'm in on these properties, so that I can roll that into, you know, new equity positions on new buildings in order to grow the fund, mm-hmm. and grow the portfolio. So you guys are going to want to keep an eye out for that. That's actually going to be rolling out fairly quickly, because we have a lot of interest in what we're doing. A lot of people are getting back, or gaining their interest back in real estate with everything that's happening. Real estate's cash flowing, tangible assets are where you want to be right now. That's the safest type of investment that I can see where I would want to put my money, and I know I'm not alone in that. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of volatility in the market, and I know a lot of people might be thinking that, oh, well, you know, there's a lot hinging on mortgage rates and the real estate market based off all this, the banking crisis and things like that. But fact of the matter is, it's no matter which way you want to cut it, it's the lesser of all evils mm-hmm. right now, in my opinion. And it's the safest investment, in my opinion, as well as the most lucrative at this point as well, which is, you know, why we're arguably seeing so much interest back into real estate investing.